An angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to the one who was like the Son of Man. Use your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is fully ripe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I welcome each and every one of you. Today we're going to celebrate harvest. Let us begin our worship by singing, "Come, ye thankful people, come." One thing, at least, about the pandemic and lockdown was that it helped us all, I think, appreciate our access to food. It was quite shocking, wasn't it, to find that for a little while we couldn't get flour. And if we weren't great stockpilers, I'm sure each of us had a moment when we thought, I think I will just get in a little bit more coffee or pasta, just in case it's all gone the next time I come. And actually, this year has also been a time of particular thanksgiving for the harvest, because last year the rain that fell meant that so many crops were actually wasted, so much were left to rot in the ground because farmers were unable to get crops out of the quagmire. This year the weather has been more kindly in our country, not so everywhere around the world. A appreciation for our harvest, appreciation for the food that we are given, is fundamental to a life of thanksgiving. And I wonder actually if that is something that we can take hold of and carry with us forward into our lives. The habit of saying grace each mealtime, or even having a pause, a silence, to remember how blessed we are to have our daily bread. These are good practices. We mustn't become lazy about them. Shall we take a moment to bring before God those times when we have taken things for granted, when we have been less than grateful? Lord, you give us many good things. We are sorry for the times we have misused them. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We enjoy the fruits of the harvest, but often forget that it is you that gives them to us. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We are usually full and satisfied, but more often than not, we ignore or turn our eyes from the cry of the hungry. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We are often thoughtless, showing little care for the world you made. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We store up things for ourselves alone, as if you and our neighbour did not exist. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The collect for harvest. Let us pray. Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness, and you give us the fruits of the earth in their season. Grant that we may use them to your glory, for the relief of those in need, as well as our own well-being. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Let us sing together our next great harvest hymn. We plough the fields and scatter. What would harvest be without this hymn?
Oh, gospel reading is taken from John chapter 6, verses 25 to 35. When the people found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Teacher, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I am telling you the truth. You are looking for me because you ate the bread and had all you wanted, not because you understood my miracles. Do not work for food that goes bad. Instead, work for the food that lasts for eternal life. This is the food which the Son of Man will give you, because God, the Father, has put his mark of approval on him." So they asked him, "What can we do in order to do what God wants us to do?" Jesus answered, "What God wants you to do is to believe in the one he sent." They replied, "What miracle will you perform so that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, just as the scripture says, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." "I am telling you the truth," Jesus said, "what Moses gave you was not the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread that God gives is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they asked him, "give us this bread always." "I am the bread of life," Jesus told them. "He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty."
I have always loved Harvest Festival. I grew up in a farmer's church, and Harvest saw it fuller than at any other time of the year, standing room only. One of my earliest memories is of rolling what seems to me a vast cauliflower up the red carpet to the altar and having to be helped at the steps. When I went as a student to live in Leeds, I was muchly taken aback to have a vicar there with a bag of coal and a canister of gas, trying to broaden our understanding of harvest. It seemed quite unnecessary to me. I was almost affronted as I looked around for marrows and sheaves of wheat and a harvest loaf. And for some years also, I have resisted what has been right before my nose, that when we celebrate harvest, we don't just look back on a life of good things or a year of good growing, but there is also a very strong call to look at the harvest at the end of the age and the sorting of the wheat from the tares. Both the hymns that we have sung so very lustily are clear about that, rooted in the past, written in the 19th and 18th century respectively. They both speak of the final reaping. And I haven't really liked that, feeling we've got enough on with being properly thankful for the material blessings in our lives and not really liking to think of the swinging of the golden sickle. Jesus, having fed the 5,000, is confronted with a crowd of whom I might well have been one, who are finding it difficult to move on from the material to the spiritual. This year, I do actually find it easier for some reason. I wonder whether it's because the year has seemed a bit end-timesy with its floods and plagues and fires, and of course the growing sense of urgency about the critical need for a response to global warming. Or it may be that it's more simple than that. Everything is so very stripped back this year. Difficulties in decorating the church and not being able to sing together has given us an opportunity to strip back the paraphernalia of remembered ritual and left us with the starkness of the words of our hymns and, of the need for gratitude for what is given and a renewed determination to do better with it. I think also I would add that there is at this time in each of our congregations members who are very unwell indeed, are approaching their last days. And we have lost just this week our dear Doreen Dawes. Their welcome, her welcome into heaven is assured, but a shadow is cast over our normal cheerful harvest celebration. But you know, I do think it is these very things that cause us to shift, as Jesus asked us to, our gaze from our own substantial Sunday lunches and all the good things around us, to instead the spiritual blessings in life, a life created and sustained by God and lived alongside his Son, the bread of heaven. You see, over the past weeks, I have heard so many of you speak of troubles that you bear, sorrows and griefs, or of those borne by people you know and love. And whilst I am so very saddened by them, I also perceive in the fortitude with which you carry them, the steady discipline with which you still give thanks for what is good, the fact that you suffer them actually because you are people who love, and because you are people whose hearts are full of mercy and pity and generosity and courage. All these things have been brought into relief for me, and they are a harvest indeed to be grateful for and to rejoice in. I want to read you some lines from a poem by Edwin Muir. I'm afraid I cannot read the whole of it, it's very long. Also, I'm slightly worried that I read it to you last year and probably will read it to you again in years to come because I love it. It speaks of a harvest that can only grow in a world that is broken as ours is. A harvest never to be known in the perfection of Eden. One foot in Eden still, I stand and look across the other land. The world's great day is growing late. Yet strange these fields that we have planted so long with crops of love and hate. But famished field and blackened tree bear flowers in Eden never known. Blossoms of grief and charity bloom in these darkened fields alone. What has Eden ever to say of hope and faith and pity and love? Strange blessings never in paradise fall from these beclouded skies. Beclouded skies. The world's skies are beclouded indeed, however bright our autumn days have been so far. And the world needs our prayers. The world needs our yearning, pleading, beseeching prayers. We're going to allow a piece of music to lead us into the prayers. It will be familiar to you, but you may not know that it is a setting of Psalm 51, the words of which I have put upon the sheet for you. I want us to pray it as a prayer for the whole world, a world full of sorrow, broken as it is by man's sin. I think it is less a confession than a call for God's mercy upon us all.
Thank you. Lord, this is the time of harvest, when we come together in normal times to celebrate and give thanks for the abundance of the fruits of the earth. Lord, indeed we do give thanks for the sustenance in all of our daily needs. But Lord, let us not forget that there are those who have no harvest, or whose harvest is a bitter one. For those people struggling to make ends meet, struggling to put food on the table, we pray most earnestly that they will receive the support needed to lift them out of their desperate poverty. Heavenly Father, only you know why we are suffering this dreadful pestilence. We need your love. We need strength so that we can overcome the difficulties that this pestilence has visited upon us. Lord, we are humbled by the tiniest of tiny creatures. The lesson of humility is well taught, but not so well learned by us struggling students. Give us the wisdom to follow the rules, designed to minimize the effects of this devastation. Dear God, we pray that a vaccine against this dreadful virus may soon be found, and that we may return to the life we knew before, when we can worship together, when we can hug our loved ones, and when we can sing together and worship you as we did before. Dear Lord, we are helpless without your love and your strength. Lord, we must not forget all those involved in our National Health Service and all those involved in saving lives who give succour and comfort to the sick and dying across the whole world. We pray that they too may be protected. Lord, it is right that children, students and teachers have come together once again to undertake the great enterprise of education. Grant, O Lord, that those who teach and those who learn may stay safe and free from infection and other illnesses. Lord, we think of those who suffer from other diseases and illnesses not related to COVID-19, whose treatment has been delayed or deferred because resources have been concentrated on the devastating effects of this pandemic. We remember also the chronic suffering of those affected by famine, war, and all forms of oppression. We ask for your blessing upon them, Lord, and for relief from their suffering. Let us pray for ourselves, for the time when the virus is gone, and we can stand together and look each other in the eye and hold hands and say once more, "The peace of the Lord be always with you." God, we humbly ask all these things through the grace of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, let us sum up our prayers by saying the prayer which the Lord himself has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
It seems most unjust that those of you who are at home and can't get to church have to be burdened by the darker thoughts of the priest in charge. Geoffrey Marshall will be leading harvest celebrations at Smalley this week and Morley next, and I know that they will be cheerful. And next week at Bredsall, all age celebration of harvest will also be upbeat. But you know, I truly believe that we are being challenged to dig deep at this time. And what's more, I have seen you do it. And the harvest that you have gathered in your toiling is great. However, sometimes we need to be encouraged more than that. And so I have saved our epistle till now. This is how we will move forward together with Christ.
A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I said to Sheila that she and I should read that most nights before we go to sleep. Perhaps we all should. Shall we receive God's blessing? God of the harvest, feed us, prune us, harvest us, that our lives might bring glory to you. And the blessing of the Creator God, the Redeemer Christ, and the Sustainer Spirit be with you and with all the peoples of the earth, now and always. Amen. Let us finish our worship today by asking for God's guidance as we journey forward and for sustenance on our way. Go or stay in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.